All systems are a go.
Ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your seats. Taking Care of Iredell with North Carolina State Representative Jeff McNeely is about to begin. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning, Iredell County. I hope everybody's doing well this morning. Yes, it is me. I'm live. I'm back. And it's good to be back. Sorry I was gone there for a couple of weeks. This Easter fell in place, and I had a really, really special chance to go to Phoenix, Arizona. And I just want to congratulate NC State's both men and women's basketball teams for making the Final Four. And after waiting roughly 40 years to finally get to see the Wolfpack in the Final Four again, I had a chance to go, and folks, I took it. So sorry I left you hanging last week. I know it was a repeat, but, you know, I'll be 60. I'm 60 now, so I'll be 100 the next time if we stay on this same type of calendar system that State works on. Hopefully that won't happen. We'll be back before then, and hopefully I'll get to go again. We did not get it done. Sad, but extremely proud of both the men and women's basketball teams. I think it's a rare feat when both can go to the Final Four in the same year. So very grateful for that, and as we always say, go Pack. Got a lot going on today. Got a really interesting show. Got Representative Monty Fritz from the Tennessee House of Representatives going to come on the show, the second part of it. Monty's a good guy. I talked to him, got to know him here this last little bit, learning a lot about a bill that he ran through. And, folks, this has to do a lot with what we think may be something going on in our atmosphere. We talk about these chemtrails. They seem to last longer, some people think. Some people don't. Could it be just precipitation coming out of the back of the airplanes, or is there something actually going on there? And Monty ran a bill to just kind of clarify things, and so it'll be interesting to get his take on that. So look forward to that happening. Also, know this, today is April the 15th, and that means it's tax day. So a lot of people got to go and write a check today, and I'll have to be one of those that participate in that and pay up to the state and to the federal government. So don't forget to do your taxes today. This is where the makers give it back, and hopefully there's less takers. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, a couple things going on. Wanted to bring forth a lot of things happened last couple of weeks, and I missed, but we'll get right to what's going on currently. Iran has attacked Israel, as we saw over the weekend. This is after Israel blew up the Iranian consulate embassy in Syria, killed some major senior military officials doing that. So they kind of pushed it there. So now here comes Iran back, and luckily the damage was very minimal. I think there was one person, a young child, I think a lady, or excuse me, a little girl, maybe injured pretty severely. But other than that, not much damage. They were able to intercept between Israel's defense system and help from some of the different allies, including the United States, to shoot down. I think there was over 300 missiles, drones, all kind of different military apparatuses fired at Israel, and they were able to pretty much stop that. But, you know, this is getting pretty serious, folks. And the question is, will we be drawn into a war now that it's escalating? This has gone beyond Hamas. This is now gone against Jew versus Muslim, pretty much. And the whole region is on high alert, along with the military people that we already have there. So please pray for our service women and men in the region and those who may be sent. This is scary times. So let's just beware of what's happening over there and understand what we're in for. This is not just a political war. This is a religious war in a lot of aspects. And those rarely end. They continue to go on forever and ever. And they've been fighting over there for 10,000 years. And I don't know when it will ever end or if it will. I pray some peace is found. But just pray for our men and women. Pray for all involved, if we will. And hey, don't be afraid to call in, folks. It's been a while since I talked to any of you. 844-788-3464. 844-788-3464. 3464. I know that's a little bit new number. We keep giving that out. We've been doing that for a while. But if anybody wants to call in, 844-788-3464. Please give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what's going on. Well, here we go again. We got the American Climate Corps. Joe Biden's administration, new innovation to fight climate change. California company called Strategic Energy Innovations. It's a nonprofit. It's going to get $8 billion from the Biden administration to employ up to 50,000 young woke climate activists. They're coming to your to a town near you. It's a 10-month service, and they'll go and you know, this was like Kennedy's Peace Corps. There was a lot of people wanting to be active back in the early 60s. It seemed like a lot of contention, so he created that. And we can go back to the Roosevelt era and all the different things they did to try to bring us out of the recession. So this is just another way for this administration to hype up their climate change initiative that they're pushing. You know, this strategic, I got to find it again here, Strategic Energy Innovations out of California. Kind of worried about this, y'all. This is $8 billion going to a nonprofit to basically incentivize young people. And you know, the job market is already just, you know, short, can't find anybody to work. And so now we're going to take up to maybe 50,000 people, maybe just graduating college, whatever, take them out of the workforce and put them out going in communities, looking around, trying to figure out ways to, I guess, save the environment, save energy, conserve. All this is wonderful. This is all wonderful. But at what point and what way does this really help our economy, which is tanking? We still have ungodly inflation. Right now, I think I saw something the other day that it says it's going to be $11,000 more to buy the same amount of food that your family bought just 2 years ago. So instead of trying to get these people into the workforce and get them going, instead we're going to make sure they're spying to make sure that you're not ruining the environment or leaving your spigot on or letting your car warm up too long or God knows what they're going to do. And I'm sure it's all in the name of saving our planet. And I'm not knocking global warming, but this is not exactly how I had envisioned that we would go about trying to do things better, is putting the young police force out of woke activists. And paying them to go around and check on us. So this has got me kind of scared, if to say the least. Peace Corps on steroids would be maybe a good way to put it. So you know, in the second part of the show, we're going to bring a lot of climate stuff in. So maybe this whole show is based a lot on climate and climate change, as they say. But I really feel like this is going above and beyond. To me, this looks like a pure election. I'm sure that there might be a chance to even hand out election material as they cover the whole country and go out and about and see what they are. And of course, the ones that are not going to vote the way they want, they're going to probably tattletale on them. So, hey, we're getting ready to take a hard break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Got a lot more to talk about.
More Taking Care of Iredell with North Carolina Representative Jeff McNeely is coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Taking Care of Iredell continues. Here's your host, NC Representative Jeff McNeely on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
All right, back here kind of in the middle of the show. Got a caller, so we'll take a caller and see who we got here. Hey, this is Representative Jeff McNeely. Who do we got?
This is Wayne Aspen, Mr. McNeely.
Hey, Wayne, how you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. I'm calling in reference to, I mentioned he pulled out the Board of Elections about the stop sign issue down at Cloverleaf School.
Yes, sir.
Field on James Farm Road. A lot of people call me and ask me and see me and says, you're a retired state trooper. Can't you get them to do something about that? Well, I said, that's easier said than done. But I just want to reiterate again what I said about that. You know, there's 24 hours in a day, and there's less than 2 hours a day that traffic is coming out of that school, the morning and then, of course, in the afternoon when the parents pick up their students. And so what my opinion is, I'd like to get a hold of somebody at DOT to leave the stop signs where they got them from the side street for the school and then for that housing development. And then on James Farm Road, put up a caution light, racing caution light, because it's, I bet you, especially when school's not going for sure, people knows when school's going, there was probably 6 out of 10 or more that don't even see the stop sign or just go right on through. And there's going to end up being possibly a T-bone collision there with two vehicles. And so, you know, it's just kind of ridiculous to me that they did that. I understand the school situation and development, but for when you can go down there anytime except between 7:30 and 8 o'clock and between 2:30 and 3 o'clock, and that's all the time there's traffic coming out of there.
Yeah.
So you could talk to some DOT and get them to change that. Get rid of that stop sign on James Farm Road and just put up a flashing caution light, which would not be a bad idea, I think.
Okay.
At least the two sides.
All right, I'll tell you what, I'll talk with my boys over there at DOT and see what we can do. I mentioned something to them about trying to take a look out there at that here right after we got through with the election. You know, it's funny, Wayne, when we were out there and I'm politicking, I had a lot of people, you know, bring a lot of different traffic things. So we've actually worked on 2 or 3 different intersections since then, but this is one we need to take another look at if they hadn't already then. So I'll get him to do that. I'll check it out and see if there's some kind of answer maybe we can come up with. And it may be where we, you know, get more flashing lights out there or something on the side instead of maybe the caution light up top or something, just to identify that this is, you know, school time. So we'll take a look and see what we can do.
Yeah, okay, Mr. Neely, I appreciate your looking into it and all you do for Iredell County and our state, and I hope you have a great week, sir.
Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate it. I hope you do too, sir. Appreciate your service to the state too. Thank you. All right. Anybody else want to call in, go ahead and give us a holler, 844-788-3464. Moving on a little bit here. Well, this is kind of interesting. We're now having some public comment. The red line, and I guess the question is, will the red line light rail commuter train that would run from Charlotte to Mooresville actually happen? There's a push coming out of Mecklenburg, out of the city of Charlotte, to do this red line. And the red line has been talked about for a long time. Norfolk Southern actually owns the tracks. I'm not sure if this idea is to plan on purchasing the right-of-way tracks or to lease the right-of-way tracks from Norfolk Southern. In the past, they've always spent money doing all these research, all these different studies. And when it all got down to it, when they finally went to Norfolk Southern, Norfolk Southern said, no, thank you. I know when I was on CARPO, Charlotte Regional Transportation Project Organization, we had spent probably close to $1.5 million. Every time they do it, it's about $500,000 looking at this red line. And I told them right before I went off there and went to the General Assembly, I said, unless somebody gets a letter from Norfolk Southern, do not blow, spend, waste any more money on the red line until Norfolk Southern says they're wanting to do something. So it seems like maybe Norfolk Southern is wanting to do something. I hope that's the case. That's what they're saying. And so they're going to have quite a few community input meetings on this. You can go on the Charlotte Regional Transportation Project organization's website and see when these meetings are. Funny thing about it is, though, there is a whole lot. And we've been talking about this for, like I said, 20 years. And this is going to go through multiple different communities up through Mecklenburg and into Iredell. But the cost right now, I think, is about $13 billion for Charlotte-Mecklenburg's total transit plan. And it's kind of stalled as of right now. And the reason is they don't have a vehicle as far as a way to raise money in this. And they're wanting to do a transit tax. And I'm assuming it's going to fall somewhere along the lines of a sales tax. They're lobbying the General Assembly right now to help them go about this $13 billion transit plan. And it'll be interesting. It'll come into the Mount Morin area down there, basically the Lowe's. And we'll just see how this plays out. But folks, one of the reasons they're wanting to do this red line, in my opinion, and it's pretty simple, is Iredell's a red county. Red counties are in the majority right now in the House and the Senate. So if they think, if they lump in Iredell County, that and we agree to play along, that there'll be some more leverage they can use to help pull off this $13 billion transit plan. And I'm sure that that tax is going to fall over into Iredell County also. It will have to pay for it. And then, you know, they always say one of the cheapest things to do is to build something is the maintenance and the upkeep on it. That's going to be expensive, so we got that to look at. I really, really suggest if you live in South Iredell, maybe even if you just live in Iredell, because I'm afraid it might spill over to the whole county, because I'm not sure how you would do a sales tax type kind of transit thing plan without including the whole county. You may want to go give your input on these meetings. It's a very expensive proposition. I do understand mass transit. I'm not a moron, but I do also understand the cost that it is. And when you look at the percentage of people that will actually use it in Iredell versus everybody else that will have to put the bill, to me it gets pretty tough. It gets to be a pretty tough sale. So I wasn't a fan of it when I was on CARPO as a county commissioner, and also on CARPO when I was a chair on the Iredell County Planning Board. And I'm not a real big fan of it now as your representative, because I think it's just another tax, and it's going to be a fairly expensive tax. But understand, they're trying to figure out a way to bring as many partners into this game as they can. So that's kind of what's going on there. This is going to be a very, very expensive proposition. I hope everybody takes the time to really understand what they're looking at here and to voice their opinion. It really does matter. Be glad to hear from any of y'all on this. You can give me a call, call the office, call my cell. You've always got it, 704-902-4958. And be glad to talk. But right now, I'm probably on the naysayer side, not really supporting this, because I'm not sure how this is going to play out and how much it's going to end up costing us in the future. And then a lot of this will be up to your county commissioners, too, not just us, not just your state representative and senator, but also your county commissioners, because they'll be the ones involved also. And I think we're struggling for money right now. This is just another hole in the boat that's going to be about impossible to plug. Moving on to a little bit, like I said, anybody wants to give a call, we still got about 3 minutes till we go. We can take a short call, 844-788-3464, if you want to talk about any of this. The Biden administration has allowed another group of people to be able to have their student loans canceled. We're now, and see, they ruled the whole bill, that executive order that Joe Biden did, unconstitutional, but he's found a back door in the path. And basically it's called the SAVE plan. And what that does, it allows people making a lower income than I think purported, that they basically don't have to pay it back. And then it also, if it's been 20 years they've been working on it, they don't have to pay it back. And they keep finding other little twists and turns in it through the Department of Education to figure out ways. And so we're up to 360,000 people. That's $4.8 billion that has been forgiven. And I'm sure those 360,000 people are ecstatic to a point that they've had a loan forgiven that they took out. When it's all said and done, though, there'll be over 8 million people's loans forgiven at the path that we're on. And once again, we're back to, this is just buying votes, pretty much like that climate corps, the American Climate Corps. We're going, helping the woke activists find a way to get funded to go out here and push their agenda. So here we go again. And I understand a lot of these people are struggling. I get it. We're all struggling in this economy. But I feel like that they actually received a service and an education. I hope the education was a quality education, and I hope it allowed them to get a quality job. This is part of the deal. I think they knew when they took it on. So as far as the forgiveness goes, I have a hard time now because we're bailing out people for their choices at everyone else's expense. And I've actually had a couple of people reach out to me. They're upset that the state of North Carolina is still going to charge them a tax on the loans that they were forgiven. So it's about 4% that are actually close to 5% that they're going to get taxed for their loan forgiveness. And so they get $100,000 forgiven, and they're upset about having to come up with the $5,000 to pay in the tax. To me, it sounds like a pretty good deal, but I understand money's tight. I get that. But we also at the state of North Carolina work on payment plans. So anyway, get ready to hang on with us. We're going to have Representative Monty Fritz come on here in the second part of the show. This is going to be real interesting, folks. So stay with us. Can't wait to talk to you in the second half.
There's more Taking Care of Iredell with North Carolina Representative Jeff McNeely on the way from 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. It's Taking Care of Iredell with NC Representative Jeff McNeely on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
All right, back here for the second half of the show, and I think this is going to be real interesting. We got our guest on the line, Representative Monty Fritz. Are you there, sir?
I am, Representative McNeely. It's good to talk with you today.
Hey, good to talk with you, sir. Good to talk with you. Hey, before we get into this, you know, we touch a good bit of listeners. Tell everybody a little bit about who Monty Fritz is. Give us a little background on yourself and how long you've been in politics and the House over there. Who is Monty Fritz?
I will do that. I'm Monty Fritz is a husband of 40 years as of just this past week, and I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian.
Man.
I have two kids and three grandkids. I'm retired. My wife runs a small real estate business, and I help her occasionally before I got into politics. I am a first-term Tennessee representative. I have most of Loudoun County and most of Roane County and a portion of Loudoun County in Tennessee House District 32. I'm that person that got into politics late in life just because I'm going to make a few changes, and so we're trying to do that.
Well, good deal. Good deal. Well, great to have you on my show. I have a lot of callers call in, and we talk about this. And I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, we're going to call this a geoengineering, climate engineering. A lot of different terms used, a lot of big language used. Folks, Monty, let me do this. I'm going to read this executive summary that was on the White House website here, and it says executive summary. A program of research into the scientific and societal implications of solar radiation modification would enable better informed decisions about the potential risks and benefits of solar radiation modification as a component of climate policy, alongside the foundational elements of greenhouse gas emissions mitigation and adaption. Such a research program would also help to prepare the United States for possible deployment of SRM, solar radiation modification, by other public or private actors. A research program characterized by transparency and international cooperation would contribute to a broader basis of trust around the issue. The potential risk and benefit to human health and well-being associated with the scenarios involved with the use of SRM need to be considered relative to the risk and benefits associated with a plausible trajectory of ongoing climate change not involving SRM. Wow. What the heck did that mean?
Well, that's a mouthful. Like most everything that comes from D.C., oftentimes they speak a mouthful and it means nothing. But I'm afraid, especially this administration, I'm afraid what we're saying there, when you compare it with the 2024 Energy and Water Appropriations that has $39 million in 2024 to advance these studies, and that's page 119. I think I sent you that document.
I've got it. I'll read it here in a second. You go ahead and speak to it, and I'll read it a little bit.
But it puts money into the study of these things. When you look at that WhiteHouse.gov document that you just quoted from, it's not a hidden thing. We have folks that want to reflect their sun's radiation to try to lower the Earth's temperature. I'll give you a little history and context if you're interested in how I found myself carrying that bill, because I definitely didn't run on that that topic. I had a more senior representative here, Bud Halsey, who's up in the Kingsport area, a little geographically close to where you live, I think.
Okay.
And he said, Fritz, I'd like to ask you to take a look at this bill. He said, I think you've got the right research approach and everything to this to take a look at it. And so that was in January, and I did, and I started finding just volumes of everything from Yale to Harvard.edu, the White House document that you just quoted from, House Energy and Water Appropriations. We started to see news reports from even the mainstream, ABC, NBC, talking about you know, how we could stop this coming climate catastrophe. And I think, and, you know, I don't know that I've communicated this to you, but I'll go ahead and show my cards on this. I think this whole climate worship, climate catastrophe thing that's being pushed on us today is being pushed to exercise control over Americans, and in my case, Tennesseans, and to make money. And so lots of that mouthful of words that you just quoted coming from D.C. does those kinds of things. Probably one of the more significant documents I looked at, Representative, was just the NOAA and DOE report from November of 22, where they reported on, you know, solar reflective management and approaches to reduce the Earth's temperature as a way to respond to this climate catastrophe. And when I started to research, we found that cloud seeding is a common thing in some of our Western United States now. As a matter of fact, we had a young man come and testify against the bill when we were in Ag Committee, who runs a cloud seeding company. There are many of those companies that use things like silver iodide to inject it into clouds to change the density of the cloud matter and try to increase or change the form of precipitation that falls. And again, and just in closing all those remarks and that mouthful I've just offered, everything that goes up comes down.
Yeah.
And we're putting these chemicals into the air, and we're breathing them, we're drinking them, in some increased concentration as a result of those kinds of things. So we just decided in the state of Tennessee that TDEC's responsible for clean air, water, and soil, and we're going to prohibit those practices in the state of Tennessee, and that's what we did. The governor signed it into law on 11 April.
Now, y'all are probably, what, maybe the fifth or sixth state that has done that?
Well, I don't know how many have passed it into law. I know there were five or six other states that were looking at different versions of how to address this. We certainly didn't do it to be the first one to pass something. And I don't know if that's the case, but it just seems so common sense to me, especially after I did my research, that we should prohibit these practices. We really don't know what we're doing to the environment we're injecting them into. So there may be more than five or six states. I know Kentucky was looking at something, one of the New England states.
Yeah, I think Maine. I think Maine actually passed this thing. And then I think maybe even Minnesota. So it's not a red thing. It's a red, blue, that's a purple thing, I guess.
Well, you would hope that clean air and water are a nonpartisan thing.
Yeah.
But we met a little resistance on the floor with some of the Democrats here in Nashville Democrats. And so they, you know, either they can't read and understand technical matter, which really it's not highly technical. Most of the sources, you just have to understand basic chemistry of what they're doing, or they're just in some kind of state of denial But we had one of the Democrat leaders try to propose a Sasquatch amendment to that bill when it hit the floor. And by the end of the night, he looked like a fool because he was making a joke out of something that's very serious. And clean air, clean water are very serious matters to us.
Well, this is all ever since COVID. I think it's piqued everybody's attention. Everybody says, "Oh, well, the government they're putting stuff in our atmosphere to try to make sure that." You got one side says, "I don't know what they're doing." The other side is, "Oh, they're cleaning our atmosphere. They're trying to kill the COVID virus, and they're doing these things." And then you get to looking at these vapor trails left from airplanes, and you're like, okay, well, I remember all those as a kid. And then somebody says, yeah, but they're up there a lot longer now. Do you realize that? And you got to thinking, well, used to that vapor trail followed right behind the plane. Now it seems to be way behind the plane. And there's a whole lot of things up in there and going on. And talking with you, you basically said, well, we don't know if they're doing anything or not, but we don't want them to. And that was probably the gist of your bill more than anything. Is this is just a shot across the bow saying, hey, we don't know what's going on, but don't be messing with air in Tennessee. Is that correct?
Well, if you look at the bill that we passed, it is very, very simple. It just says, the intentional injection, release, or dispersion by any means of chemicals, chemical compounds, substances, or apparatus within the borders of this state into the atmosphere with the express purpose of affecting temperature, weather, or the intensity of the sunlight is prohibited. That's it. And so ours was that this is a TDEC responsibility, and certainly we as a state have a say in how we're going to control things, and this certainly seemed to be one of them. I think that much of folks quickly go to the contrails or chemtrails, whichever they may be. But there was a report 2 weeks ago of the USS Hornet in the bay in Northern California that they were making these injections into the lower atmosphere to try to reflect sunlight. And then if you look at the NOAA DOE report, there's some emphasis on using maritime vessels to do the marine cloud brightening to reflect the sunlight intensity. And those things, to me, it's just...
Hey, Monty, we've got to take a hard break right now. Keep those thoughts. We'll be right back, folks. Just hold tight.
We'll be back with more of NC Representative Jeff McNeely and Taking Care of Iredell after this short break on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Now, more Taking Care of Iredell with North Carolina Representative Jeff McNeely on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
All right, back here with the last part of the show. Got Representative Monty Fritz from the Tennessee House on the line. Monty, you still with us?
I am, yes, sir.
Yeah, when we left right there, sorry about that. We got to pay the bills around here, so we got to take these dadgum commercial breaks. But you left. We were talking about it's even got to the point now where they're talking about dispensing this through maritime, dropping it off of boats into the different parts, I guess, of the ocean and trying to change the temperatures and whatnot.
It is, and that the NOAA DOE report, I think, was dated November 22, 2022, that I'd sent you a copy of. It outlines some of that, both in the summary of the document and just the imagery that they use in this. I'll say it. I mean, I think that God has blessed us. He calls us. He directed us to subdue this planet He's given us and to feed ourselves and keep ourselves warm and house ourselves and all those kinds of things. But I got to tell you, Jeff, I think that when we start trying to manipulate the weather, is that a weaponization of manipulating the weather? Is it taking from one state what we don't want them to have? I don't know. But I know this. When I look at the rainfall, I think that's God's business. When I look at the temperature of the earth and I see national leaders from around the world sign a document that they're going to reduce the earth's temperature by 1.5 degrees C, I think they're idiots. because I think they have found themselves into a practice of deity that they don't have the right or the responsibility to do. And the reason I mention that is because those same foolish pursuits are driving much of what I think you see in some of what is really just black and white before our eyes, that we want to dim the sunlight around the earth to cool it off. I just think it's stupid.
Well, you know, and getting back to that one document, the Energy and Water Appropriation, folks, the department is encouraging to increase the support of activities for academia to perform independent evaluations of climate models using existing data sets and peer-reviewed publications of climate scale processes in order to determine various models' abilities to reproduce the actual climate. The recommendation provides not less than $30 million to continue the development of observational assets and support associated research on the nation's major large water intersurfaces, including the Great Lakes and the Puget Sound, by leveraging national laboratories' assets as well as local infrastructure and expertise at universities and other research institutions. The recommendation provides not less than $39 million to improve the understanding of key cloud aerosol precipitation and radiation processes. So $39 million going to that part. The department is encouraged to coordinate with the Department of Homeland Security and other agencies as relevant to support analysis of near-term climate risk and impacts of infrastructure and communities within the available funds. $3 million is for a pilot program to provide instrumentation for the observing of marine aerosols, greenhouse gases, and other environmental factors in the relevance deployed on commercial or other non-dedicated ocean vessels, and to eliminate a sustained observing network using such platforms. Wow. Once again, mumbo-jumbo to try to get you to say, we got plenty of money to spend on this, is what it sounds like to me. Still with me?
I am with you. And I think for those folks in the federal government that approve of this, and those that have voted for this, how about just enforcing the southern border?
Yeah, yeah.
How about just enforcing the laws that we have on the books? How about let's try not to tax one another to death so that our economy can really grow? How about focusing on those things that are important to all Americans? How about supporting our liberties rather than coming up with some half-baked plan to inject aerosol chemicals into the atmosphere because we think we can reduce the Earth's temperature? I don't know if it's a bait and switch or if it, again, is just the stupidity of some of the people that we have holding high offices, because it's bizarre to me. And I know that sounds blunt and coarse maybe to your listeners, and I apologize. It leaves me almost speechless when I start to look at some of the things that we're willing to spend money on.
Well, you know, to me, yes, I agree 100% with you. You know, we start messing with Mother Nature. We're opening up a can of worms that I don't think we'll be able to shut. And of course, now cloud seeding's been going on since the 40s and 50s, and I get that. And you know, Texas Tech is doing great weather stuff here, and it shows here an analysis of cloud seeding operation conducted to projects in 2019 showed that on average, individual seeding thunderstorms live 22 minutes longer, 41% than untreated, 40% more area, 24% more rain. Isolated thunderstorms seeded produced an estimated 101,000 acre feet above and beyond what was expected without intervention. I mean, it goes on to have an estimated yield of 956,657 additional acre feet of rainwater and at a cost of $11 per acre. Oh, wow. Okay, that sounds great. I get it, to the places that are extremely dry and have historically been extremely dry. But just like we talked a second ago, you know, okay, you make it rain in West Texas where it doesn't never rain. Does it rain in Tennessee or North Carolina then? Because weather moves basically west to east. So, are we adding rain or are we just making it rain in a different place? And what effect will that have?
I certainly don't know the answer to that question. And just reflecting back to, as a child and what you learned about the evaporative process and how clouds were formed, much of the cloud formations, as I recall, were occurring across the oceans because the sunlight created this evaporative process and the moisture rose. And so if we're cloud seeding to change where the rain or snow falls, and it's snow in some areas in the West, they want to increase the snowpack, and I understand why. But then we have folks that are exploring reducing the temperature of the Earth through the marine cloud brightening. One seems like it's deleterious to the other, to be honest with you, because if we reduce the temperature at the Earth, have we reduced the evaporative effect and the formation of clouds? And to what extent have we harmed ourselves long term? I don't know. Maybe somebody knows the answer to that question, but I haven't found the answer to that question yet.
Well, you know, one of the ironic things here, just released, I think, at the World Conference of Climate or whatever, is you had one of the great thinkers, I forgot his name, I did this in a show quite a while back, and he's saying, well, the problem is we've done such a good job of removing the aerosols that we use as humans from our out of our environment that now it's letting more sunlight in, and his idea was we need to put more aerosol back in. Now, how do you believe anything these people say when at one point they preach how the aerosols is running the ozone and, you know, we're going to all burn up from solar radiation, to now saying, well, actually, they were actually making a shield and they were a good thing. We needed to put – I mean, how do we trust any of this? And do we even attempt to trust it by messing in it?
Well, our founders and framers had developed a distrust of people in government. The reason they gave us a constitution that establishes defined boundaries on government's authority is because they knew the sinful nature of man. And unfortunately, some of the high thinkers that you refer to they don't view the constitution as something that is lasting or even appropriate. And have just decided for themselves that they're going to do what they want to do for whatever reason. And as an American, that's offensive. As a Tennessean, that's greatly offensive. And I'm sure it is for most of your listeners in North Carolina. Let's follow the doggone Constitution and restrict your powers, whatever office holder you're in, as to those that the Constitution grants you. And I think as you look at much of the research, there are lots of globalist billionaires who are supporting these types of activities.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And I will tell you, it's a common thing for one of my committee chairmen to say this, so I'm going to borrow his phrase. You can eat Bill Gates' bugs if you want to. I choose to stick with chicken and beef.
There you go.
And the same and pork. The same people that are okay with, I guess, injecting chemicals into the atmosphere by their vote in the Tennessee House, the Democrats, they're also okay with, restricting how many cattle a man can raise or a family can raise because they think that the cattle are detrimental to the atmosphere, which to me is, again, absurd.
Yep. Let me read one thing, and then we're probably going to have to go. This was Chief of Staff back in July 2019, Chiribalti, Chief of Staff for Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, had an unexpected disclosure. The interesting thing about the Green New Deal, he said, is it wasn't really a climate thing at all. The reporter greeted with a staring notion and a tentative poker face. Do you guys think it was a climate thing? Chiribalti continued, because we really think it's a how do you change the entire economy thing. And that's pretty big. Monty, we've out of time. We got to go. I appreciate you. We try to have you back on because we got more to talk about.
All right, brother. I appreciate it. Keep the fight up in North Carolina.
I'll do it. All right. See you. Thank you, sir. Well, folks, we still have a lot of questions, not a lot of answers, but a whole lot of things going on. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for our many, many blessings, Lord. We pray that wisdom comes from you, and that we understand, and that we are knowledgeable through your acts and through your intentions. And you pray you bless us, bless this country, bless this state, bless this county, dear Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Till next week, take care. See ya.
You've been listening to North Carolina Representative Jeff McNeely. Join Jeff again next Monday morning at 11:05 for Taking Care of Iredell on News Talk WSIC.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.